I want you to open your Bibles, if you would, to the book of John, chapter 10, and we're going to read a few verses and get started. The title of the message, John chapter 10, is You Must Be a Sheep to Hear the Shepherd's Voice. You must be a sheep to hear the shepherd's voice. So notice, if you would, in John 10, beginning there with verse 1, our Lord says, Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. Then said Jesus unto them again, Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. And all that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not but for to steal, and to kill, and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is a hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming and leaveth the sheep and fleeth, and the wolf catcheth them and scattereth the sheep. So you must be a sheep to hear the shepherd's voice. The truth of the matter is this. Very few Americans know anything about sheep or about shepherding. It's true that there are some in America that raise sheep, but not nearly the way they are in Europe. In fact, most Western states, most cowboys actually despise sheep. In fact, I taught a young man in college years ago. He was from Colorado. He was a rancher, and he referred to sheep as ranch maggots because, you know, they're white and they've got the little black nose there. One of the funny things is I was out west with our grandkids when they were much smaller, and I pointed out, and I told them the story, and I said, look, there's some ranch maggots, you know, and just going on. And the next day, Lacey, the youngest granddaughter, we were traveling, and she saw some sheep out there. She said, oh, look, farm ticks. I said, no, they're not farm ticks. It's ranch maggots. But anyhow, the truth of the matter is, the reason cattlemen hate them is because when a sheep grazes, he actually will pull grass up by the root, and it basically destroys it. But according to the Food and Agricultural Organization, the top five countries in raising sheep from 1993 to 2013, listen carefully, were China with 146.5 million heads, Australia, 101 million, India, 62 million, Iran, 51 million, and the former Sudan, 46 million. Since then, China has taken over, basically, with 195 million head of sheep, followed by Australia with 72 million, India with 63 million, Iran with 45 million, Nigeria, 41 million, and Sudan, 40 million. And Sudan and Somalia are the two main countries that export sheep, or the meat, we should say, mutton, from the sheep. Now, the interesting thing about John chapter 10 is there are so many truths in this passage that are applicable to us today. Then, of course, in this passage, our Lord likens his people to sheep, and, of course, he himself is the shepherd. As you read through the Bible, you'll find that there are three titles concerning Jesus Christ. First of all, he's called the Good Shepherd because he gives his life for the sheep. Secondly, he's called the Great Shepherd because he provides for his sheep. And then thirdly, he's called the Chief Shepherd because he promotes his own to glory and he honors them as well. So the relationship between the shepherd and the sheep is a very intimate one. It is a relationship in which the shepherd not only knows his sheep, but the sheep also know the shepherd as well. And I think there is a key word that really we should understand that is involved in John chapter 10, and that key word would be what you and I would call identification. Because the shepherd identifies with the sheep, and of course the sheep identifies with the shepherd. And the shepherd of the sheep is always willing to lay down his life for the sheep. And in fact, our good shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ, did indeed lay down his life for his sheep. And the fact of the matter is, there's no way in the world our Lord cannot know his sheep. He knows really and truly who belong to him and who does not belong to him. That's why the Bible says in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 19, "Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his, and let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity." Now, I said that one of the key words in this passage should be identification. And I want you to hold John chapter 10, but turn right over, if you would please, to the book of Romans chapter 6. And let me show you how this concept from John 10 is clearly stated in Romans chapter 6. So in Romans chapter 6, beginning there with verse 3, look at what the scripture says. Romans 6 and verse 3. The word of God says, "Know you not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin." And so in this passage, we're reading about identification once again, because we have been identified with Jesus Christ in his death, in his burial, in his resurrection, and I might also add, in his ascension, and being seated at the Father's right hand as well. So I want you to look back to John chapter 10 and verse 4, because this intimate relationship that I'm talking about, that is clearly stated in Romans chapter 6, is also given to us in an illustrative form in John 10 and verse 4. Now look at what he said. "And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice." Now, the word "follow" is a very important word. The Greek word happens to be akulotheo, and it literally means to follow one who precedes, to join him as his attendant, to accompany him, or to join him as a disciple and become a disciple. Moreover, the other interesting thing about this word "follow" is very simple. In the Greek, it's a present active indicative. What that means is this: number one, it's a true statement, but number two, it is something that is happening now and continues to happen. In other words, you follow him initially, and then you continue to follow him. In other words, we do not cease following him. Our followship is something that is continual and constant. Now, since he's talking about sheep, there is a problem with sheep. Sheep like to wander, and sheep like to go astray. In fact, that is true of every individual. They love their own way, and they love their own thoughts. That is why in Isaiah 53 and verse 6, the Bible says, "All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all." So whenever we prefer our way and our will above the way and the will of the shepherd, that is when we get in trouble. That is where we find the wolves waiting to devour us. Our Lord, who is the good shepherd, knows exactly where the green pastures are, and his rod and his staff are those to comfort us. When we wander out of his way, we lose his provision and we lose his protection. Now, I've read two aspects of this illustration. I'm going to give them to you. Now, let me just tell you, the first one actually has no verification except from eyewitnesses. Now, when I make that statement, what I mean is simply this. What I'm about to tell you is not found in Scripture. That does not mean that it's not true. It, Scripture does not tell it. So here is a lamb. Here's a sheep that wanders out of the way. Maybe once. And the shepherd finds a sheep and brings it back. But if the sheep continues to wander, the shepherd will find the sheep, take the sheep, pick up a leg, take his rod, and break the leg. Once he breaks the leg, he splints the leg, fixes it where it will heal, takes the sheep in his arm, and carries him around. So let me just put this out very clearly. The shepherd does not break the sheep's leg because he hates the sheep or because he's mad at the sheep. He does it to save the sheep and to keep the sheep from wandering off. So the shepherd then tends the sheep until the leg is well. And after the leg is well, he then lets the little sheep down, and the sheep then is more attached than ever because now he's been in the arms of the shepherd. The shepherd has carried him and taken care of him, and so he then follows the shepherd. So that is one aspect of stopping a sheep from wandering. Now, there's a second aspect, and I'm going to have to spell the word for you, okay? So I just said one of the first illustrations I read is where the shepherd will break the leg and then bind it up. The second illustration is where the shepherd breaks the leg. Now, you said you just said that. No, it's spelled differently. The very first illustration was B-R-E-A-K, to break into. This one is B-R-A-K-E, like the brakes on your car. In other words, your car is going a certain direction or a certain speed, and you want to slow down, you put the brakes on it. And so breaking a sheep's leg is not by breaking it and splinting it, but by adding a weight to it that weighs the leg down, which means now the lamb cannot run rapidly. In other words, he cannot escape predators. So therefore, he has to stay close to the shepherd. So it's kind of like hobbling a horse. You ever hobbled a horse? You put hobbles on the front legs of a horse, and the horse can move, the horse can eat, but he can't run, and he can't walk fast, and you can catch him very easily. So it's the same thing with a lamb with a braked leg. There's a heavy weight, and the lamb cannot get away. Now, let me tell you this. Regardless of which of these illustrations would be used by shepherds, I do not want our Lord applying either one of them to me. I do not want to be chastised by him. All you have to do is read Hebrews chapter 12, and you can find out what chastisement really is. And I certainly do not want to be well. But I think it's very interesting that David said in Psalm 23, "Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me." Now stop and think about that. That the rod is usually used for switching, I would suspect. The staff, I can understand, you could pull a sheep out of danger with that staff since it's got the curved end. But he's simply saying, "Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me." The Bible tells you in Psalm 94 and verse 12, "Blessed is the man whom thou chastenest, O Lord, and teacheth him out of thy law." So when God does chasten us, and God either breaks or breaks our legs, it's so that he might teach us and bring us closer to himself. Now, let me give you another warning in light of this. Because I've heard people say this for years. I've had people tell me, well, I know a fellow who used to be a Christian, but he's no longer a Christian. Or I know someone who used to believe, but he no longer believes. Let me tell you very pointedly, a sheep is a sheep, and a sheep does not become a goat. Okay? A sheep is a sheep, and a sheep does not become a goat. Now, if someone made a profession of faith, and someone got baptized, and someone joined the church, and someone left the faith, then that someone was never, ever genuinely converted to begin with. They were never, ever a sheep. How can I say that? 1 John chapter 2, verse 19. Listen to what John said. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out from us, that it might be made manifest that they were not all of us. So what is John saying? He says anyone who really leaves the faith is just evidencing and manifesting the fact they were never in the faith to begin with. Stop and think about that. There has never been a day since I've been saved that I wanted to be unsaved. I have no desire to live as an unsaved man. So I'm just simply pointing out the fact when someone says, well, I know somebody who used to go to church and used to do this, and you go, well, they just never were converted to begin with. So now, it is true what our Lord just said. The sheep follow the shepherd. But there is a specific reason as to why they follow the shepherd. I want you to look again in John chapter 10, and let's begin with verse 3. I want you to see why the sheep follow the shepherd. The Bible says, to him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him. Listen now, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of a stranger. The sheep know the voice of the shepherd, and they follow him. Now, let me show you a beautiful illustration. I want you to go ahead and turn in your Bibles to John chapter 20. Because in John chapter 20, our Lord has already been crucified. He's been buried. He is now risen from the grave. And there's an interesting illustration here concerning Mary. Let's begin reading there with verse 11. Look at it. John 20, verse 11. But Mary stood without at the sepulcher weeping. And as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the sepulcher, and seeth two angels in white sitting, the one at the head and the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus had lain. And they say unto her, woman, why weepest thou? She said unto them, because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him. And when she had said thus, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing. Look at this, and knew not that it was Jesus. Jesus said unto her, woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? She, supposing him to be the gardener, said to him, sir, if thou hast borne him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away. Jesus said unto her, Mary. She turned herself and said to him, Rabbi, which is to say, master. Do you realize all our Lord did was call her name? And she instantly knew who he was. she did not know previously. But when he called her name, she knew exactly who he was. So our Lord said, "My sheep hear my voice, and they follow me." Why do sheep not follow strangers? And the answer is, according to our Lord, they know not the voice of strangers. I watched recently an interesting little video. It was only 4 or 5 minutes long, of a shepherd with his sheep in a fenced-in area. And with him were three individuals standing at the fence. And he challenged them to call the sheep. And so each one took the time. I think there was at least one woman, may have been two, I'm not sure. But there was a man as well. But each one of them called to the sheep. The sheep were out there grazing in the field. The sheep never even lifted their heads, never even looked at them. They just kept on grazing. Each one did his best to grab the attention of those sheep. And when they had failed, the shepherd just simply spoke. And each sheep lifted his head, looked at the shepherd, and came running straight to him. Whole field full of them. Now, here's an interesting thing. You could take three shepherds, and they could have 1,000 sheep, and they're all mixed in, and they're all mixed up. But when it comes time for the shepherd to separate his sheep, he does not go in and say, "This is mine, that was mine." No, 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 no. He doesn't do anything except call them. Then his sheep leave from the mass of the other sheep, and they follow the one shepherd. Let me read to you what Arthur W. Pink wrote concerning this. He said, "In Palestine, which in the pastoral sections was infested with wild beasts, there was in each village a large sheepfold, which was the common property of the native farmers. This sheepfold was protected by a wall some 10 or 12 feet high. When night fell, a number of different shepherds would lead their flocks up to the door of the fold through which they passed, leaving them in the care of the porter while they went home and sought lodging. At the door, the porter lay on guard through the night, ready to protect the sheep against thieves and robbers or against wild animals which might attempt to scale the walls. In the morning, the different shepherds returned. The porter would allow each one to enter through the door, calling by name the sheep which belonged to his flock. The sheep would respond to his voice, and he would lead them out to pasture. In the lesson before us, this is what our Lord used as a figure or proverb." So it didn't matter if there were thousands of sheep from different shepherds, because each sheep knew the voice of his own shepherd. So, here's some questions I want you to think about, and I've got one that I really want to impress upon you. But here's the first one. Has our Lord called you by name? Do you follow him? Do you know his voice? Do you know his leading? Or how about this one? How do you know the voice of God? How do you know the voice of the Lord Jesus Christ? Now, in the Garden of Eden, the Bible tells you in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 8 concerning Adam and Eve, and they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. Now, notice if you would, the Bible said, and they heard the voice of God. When you get to Genesis chapter 3 and verse 10, Adam said unto God, "I heard thy voice in the garden. I was afraid because I was naked and I hid myself." So evidently, at that particular time, there was an audible voice that Adam and Eve heard, because he said, "I heard thy voice." However, I want you to turn to the book of Genesis chapter 12. Abraham also heard the voice of God, but we're not necessarily told how he heard the voice of God. In other words, most of the time, we assume it has to be an audible voice. For instance, Genesis 12, verse 1, the Bible says, "Now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto the land that I will show thee." Notice, "and the Lord God had said." Well, how did God speak to him? Well, we're not told particularly there, but if you look in Genesis chapter 15, Genesis chapter 15, and notice, if you would, I think it is verse 1, "And after these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, fear not, Abram, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward." So Abraham did indeed hear the voice of God. And if you look in Genesis chapter 26 and verse 5, look what God says concerning Abraham. "Because that Abraham obeyed my voice and kept my charge, my commandments, my statutes, and my laws." Wow. So now it's not just the vision. God has spoken in several ways to Abraham. Now, do not begin to think that each time you read about God speaking, that there was an audible voice. Let me show you why that is not true. I want you to look in your Bibles to the book of Exodus, Exodus chapter 5, Exodus chapter 5, and let's read verse 2 to begin with. Exodus 5, verse 2. Watch this. "And Pharaoh said, who is the Lord that I should obey his voice to let Israel go? I know not the Lord, neither will I let Israel go." Now note what he said. Who is the Lord that I should obey his voice? Now, did God speak to Pharaoh audibly? The answer is no. Well, how did God speak? Look in verse 1, and afterwards Moses and Aaron went in and told Pharaoh, "Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, let my people go, that they may hold a feast unto me in the wilderness." So the voice of God to Pharaoh came through Moses and Aaron. Okay? Now, it is true that when Israel came out of Egypt, they did hear the voice of God, and they were terribly frightened. So if you look in your Bibles to the book of Deuteronomy, Deuteronomy chapter 4, there are several passages. This one will make it plain as well. Let's begin reading there with verse 5, Deuteronomy chapter 4 and verse 5. Look what God says. And now he's speaking now to his people. Watch. He says, "Behold, I have taught you statutes and judgments." Moses is speaking now. "Behold, I have taught you statutes and judgments, even as the Lord my God commanded me that you should do so in the land whither you go to possess it. Keep therefore and do them, for this is your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the nations, which shall hear all these statutes and say, surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people. For what nation is there so great, who hath God so nigh unto them, as the Lord our God is in all things that we should call upon him for? And what nation is there so great that hath statutes and judgments so righteous as all this law which I set before you this day? Only take heed to thyself and keep thy soul diligently, lest thou forget the things which thine eyes have seen, and lest they depart from thine heart all the days of thy life, but teach them thy sons and thy sons' sons, especially the day that thou stoodest before the Lord thy God in Horeb, when the Lord said unto me, gather me the people together, and I will make them hear my words, that they may learn to fear me all the days that they shall live upon the earth, and that they may teach their children. And you came near and stood under the mountain, and the mountain burned with fire in the midst of heaven, with darkness, clouds, and thick darkness. and the Lord spake unto you out of the midst of the fire. You heard the voice of the words, but you saw no similitude, only you heard a voice. And he declared unto you his covenant, which he commanded you to perform, even 10 commandments, and he wrote them upon the tables of stone. And the Lord commanded me at that time to teach you statutes and judgments, that you might do them in the land whether you go over to possess it. Take ye therefore good heed unto yourselves, for you saw no manner of similitude on that day the Lord spake unto you in Horeb out of the midst of the fire. So you remember when God spoke, the people trembled. And of course, the fire was there, the tempest was there, and even as so much as an ass touched that mount, he was to be thrust through with a spear and killed. And the people begged and said, let not God speak to us. We've heard his voice. But God did speak, and they heard an audible voice. But how did God give them his laws? And the answer is through his word. Now, I want you to look in your Bibles to Exodus chapter 15. Let's go back there. Exodus chapter 15. And I want you to watch and follow with me. Exodus 15, look at verse 26. Exodus 15, verse 26. And he said, if thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, note that, if thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, and will do that which is right in his sight, and give ear to his commandments, and keep all his statutes, I will put none of these diseases upon thee, which I've brought upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord that healeth thee. Note, he said, if you will diligently hearken the voice of the Lord. Where was the voice of the Lord? Was it an audible voice? No. It was the statutes. It was the commandments which he gave. It was his word. Look in Exodus chapter 19 and verse 5. Exodus 19, verse 5. Here it is again. God says, now therefore, if you will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant, then you shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all the people of all the earth, for all the earth is mine. Note if you would, he said, if you will obey my voice. Where was his voice? It was in his covenant. It was in his law. It was in his word. One more. If you'll look in Deuteronomy chapter 27, Deuteronomy 27, and look, if you would, at verse 10. Deuteronomy 27 and verse 10. In this passage, look what it said specifically. Deuteronomy 27, verse 10. Thou shalt therefore obey the voice of the Lord thy God, and do his commandments and his statutes, which I command thee this day. So once again, where's the voice of the Lord? It's in his word. Now, let me mention something. I'm going to show you another passage. In the Old Testament, and in the New Testament at the beginning, God did speak in different ways. He didn't speak through visions. He didn't speak through dreams. He even spoke through trances. That's what happened in Acts chapter 10 when Peter went up to the housetop while he was waiting for dinner, and he went into a trance. But I want you to look in your Bibles to the book of Hebrews chapter 1 at verses 1 and 2. Hebrews chapter 1. At verses 1 and 2. Look at what Scripture says. Hebrews 1, verses 1 and 2. God, who at sundry times and diverse manners, different ways, spake in time past to the fathers by the prophets. And that's how he did. He spoke through visions, dreams, trances, prophets. He spoke many different ways. But watch verse 2. He hath in these last days spoken thus by his Son, who is the appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds. So the various and sundry ways that God spoke in times past has ceased. Sometimes I get frustrated. Sometimes I get amused at people wanting to tell me their dreams. A lot like it's some important, significant, you know, that God is showing them something over and above and beyond the Word of God. No, listen to me. Jesus Christ is the full and final revelation of God. There's nothing above Jesus Christ. There's nothing beyond Jesus Christ. And if you're trying to tell me today that God is giving someone new information that is never known before, that's not revealed in the Bible, then Jesus Christ is not the full and final revelation of God. It's just that simple. So God, in times past, spoke in different ways, but now in these last days, he's spoken to us through his Son. Now, go back in your Bibles very quickly to John chapter 5. Look at this. I want you to see this, John chapter 5. Here is why, here's exactly why that is true. In John chapter 5, beginning there with verse 22, look at this. John 5, verse 22. There's a message connected with this as well. But in John chapter 5, verse 22, look at what it said. For the Father judgeth no man, but hath committed all judgment unto the Son. Why did the Father commit all judgment to the Son? Here's why, verse 23. That all men should honor the Son even as equally as they honor the Father. He that honoreth not the Son honoreth not the Father which hath sent him. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Note, if you would, God said, I've committed all judgment of my Son, that all men should honor him even as they honor the Father. If you don't honor Jesus Christ, you do not honor the Father. It's just that simple. Now, you have to remember that Jesus Christ is the living Word of God, and the Bible is the written Word of God. So, in John chapter 6, Jesus Christ declares himself to be the bread of life. He said, Moses did not give you that bread of God, but the bread of God is he who cometh down from heaven and giveth his life for the world. I want you to look what happened. Look in John chapter 6, since you're close there. John 6, and look at verse 60 to begin with. John 6, verse 60. After our Lord proclaimed himself as being the bread of life, and he said, if you don't eat me, you have no life in you. If you don't drink my blood, you have no life in you. Well, that was not literal. That was spiritual. What he was saying is you must live in and off and through and by me. And look in verse 60. Many, therefore, of his disciples, when they heard this saying, said, this is a hard saying. Who can hear it? In other words, we can't put up with this. We can't grasp this. This is beyond us, and we think this is insane. Well, look down, if you would, to verse 66. From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. They said, we can't handle this. We can't believe that Jesus Christ is the bread of God who came down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. Now look what happens, verse 67. Then said Jesus unto the 12, would you go away also? Then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. And we believe and are sure that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Now, since you're in John, I want you to turn right on over to John chapter 12. John chapter 12. And look, if you would please, at verse 48. Here's another good verse to memorize, John 12, verse 48. Look at what our Lord said. I've already pointed out how that Jesus Christ is the living Word and the Bible is the written Word. Look what he says in verse 48. He that rejecteth me, that's the living Word, and receiveth not my words, that's the written Word, hath one that judgeth him. The word that I've spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. So Jesus Christ is telling us you cannot separate him from his word. He is the living word, and the Bible is the written word. If you reject the living word, you reject the written word. If you reject the written word, you reject the living word. God's voice is heard in and through his word. Now, here is a very difficult question. Oh, our Lord answers it. But here it is. Why is it that some people do not want to hear the word of God? They do not wish to be taught. They don't wish to be preached to. And they don't wish to be witnessed to. They want nothing to do with Jesus Christ. I've run into a number of people like that. I've had some men, as I was coming in the front door, they were running out the back door of their house because they just didn't want to be witnessed to. And, you know, two men, that happened to me. And you know what God did? God ended up saving both of them. And then they started running to me instead of away from me. Finally, one of them at midnight, I told him, Gary, get up and go home. I got to go to bed. That's all there is to it. You know, he was just hungry for truth. But I've had people tell me pointedly, I don't want to hear it. Don't talk to me like this. Why? Well, I want you to go back in your Bibles to John chapter 10, and I want us to begin reading there with verse 24. Here's the answer to that question. John 10, verse 24. Look at this. Then came the Jews round about him and said unto him, how long dost thou make us doubt? If thou be the Christ, tell us plainly. Jesus answered them, I told you, and you believe not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. Are you looking? But you believe not, because you're not of my sheep. As I said unto you, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. Did you see what he said in verse 26? But you believe not, because you're not of my sheep. So if you refuse to hear the word of God, if you refuse to hear the voice of God, it is just evident that you're not one of his sheep. If you look back in your Bibles to John 8 and verse 47, John 8, verse 47, look what our Lord said again. John 8, verse 47, he that is of God hear God's words. You therefore hear them not, because you're not of God. Wow. He that is of God heareth God's words. You therefore hear them not, because you're not of God. Wow. Well, let me make some applications to these truths. Now, here's the first one, and I'm going to show it to you from Scripture. If you refuse to hear and heed and obey the word of God, you should be trembling. Why? Because it is his sheep that hear his word and they follow him. So if you're not hearing and you're not following, it means you're not a sheep. It means you're lost. It means judgment. I want you to turn back in your Bible to a passage I've shown you before, 2 Chronicles chapter 36. But I want you to look at it in light of the lesson tonight. And do you realize it's not just an individual? It can be a society, it can be a state, it can be a nation. So look at it in 2 Chronicles chapter 36, beginning there, verse 15. The Bible says, "And the Lord God of their fathers sent to them by his messengers," that is his prophets, his preachers, "rising up betimes and sending." Why? Because he had compassion on his people and on his dwelling place. So let me spell it out for you. When God has compassion on the people, he sends them a preacher who will declare his word. Now watch what happened in verse 16. "They mocked the messengers of God and despised his words and misused his prophets until the wrath of the Lord arose against his people till there was no remedy. Therefore he brought upon them the king of the Chaldees, who slew their young men with the sword in the house of their sanctuary, and had no compassion upon young man or maiden or old man or him that stooped for age. He gave them all into his hand." Now go back to verse 16. "But they mocked the messengers," that's plural, "of God, and despised his words," that's singular, "God's words, and misused his prophets," that's plural. So all the prophets and the preachers and the messengers are doing was preaching God's word. So despising the message, they were despising the God who sent that truth and sent that word. Now, go in your Bibles, if you would, to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Here's the same truth again. Watch this. Remember, hearing the voice of God is hearing his word. Watch this. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, look at verse 20. The Apostle Paul says, "Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead be reconciled to God." Now, wait a minute. Did you hear that? "Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us." In other words, we're here. God is beseeching you through us, is what he's saying. "We pray you in Christ's stead be reconciled unto God." Now, the word "stead" is a very interesting word. It's the Greek word "huper," which means "in the place of." When we say that Jesus Christ died in our stead, what's it mean? He died in our place. We should have been the ones that were crucified. So he said, "We pray you in Christ's stead." Where is Christ right now? He's seated at the right hand of God the Father. He's not here on earth. But his prophets, his preachers are, who declare his word. So he said, we're here in his stead. Now, let me show you how that word is used. I want you to look in your Bibles to the little book of Philemon. The little book of Philemon. And you're going to find the little book of Philemon. Right before the book of Hebrews, I want you to look at Philemon chapter 1. There's only one chapter there, but verse 13 is the verse I want, Philemon 1. Now, when you get to the book of Philemon, Onesimus is a runaway slave. He's run away. He's stolen from Philemon. He runs away to Rome. He gets thrown in the dungeon with the Apostle Paul. He gets converted, and the Apostle Paul sends him back to Philemon. Now watch what he says in verse 13 of Philemon chapter 1. He said, talking about Onesimus now. Well, let's read verse 12. He said, "Whom I have sent again, thou therefore receive him, that is mine own bowels, whom I would retain with me, that in thy stead he might have ministered unto me in the bonds of the gospel. But without thy mind would I do nothing. Thy benefit should not be as it were of necessity, but willingly." Paul said, "I really wanted to keep Onesimus here that he might minister me in thy stead in your place." In other words, Philemon, if you were here, you would be ministering to me. But you're not here. I wanted to keep him in your stead, in your place. when he says that we're here in Christ's stead, it means that we're here in his place. We're preaching and teaching his word. Now, I want you to follow me very quickly. I'm going to tie it together for you. I want you to go to the book of Matthew chapter 10. I'm going to show you this several times in the New Testament. So look at it very quickly. Matthew chapter 10. And we're going to look first of all at verse 40. Matthew 10 verse 40. Look at what our Lord says concerning his disciples, his ambassadors, his preachers. Matthew chapter 10. He says in verse 40, look carefully, he that receiveth you receiveth me, and he that receiveth me receiveth him that sent me. So, if I come to you preaching the word of Jesus Christ, and you receive me and his word, you receive Christ. If you receive Christ, you receive the Father who sent him. That's what he's saying. Now look at Luke chapter 10. Matthew, Mark, Luke. Look at Luke chapter 10 and verse 15. Luke 10, verse 15. I'm sorry, verse 16 it is. Luke 10, verse 16. Now he gives you the opposite. He says, he that heareth you heareth me, and he that despiseth you despiseth me. And he that despiseth me despiseth him that sent me. So he said, if you're going to hear the ones that I send with my word, you're hearing me. If you despise the ones that I send, you're despising me. You despise me, you despise my Father who sent me. Look at John chapter 13. John chapter 13, verse 20. And then one more, John 13, verse 20. Again, our Lord says it like this. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that receiveth whomsoever I send, receiveth me. And he that receiveth me, receiveth him that sent me. So once again, he's talking about hearing his voice, the voice of the preaching and teaching of the word of God. Then one last one, I want you to look in Hebrews chapter 12 at verse 25. Here is an admonition that is so plain and to me so powerful. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 25. Look at this warning. See that you refuse not him that speaketh. Wow. For if they escape not who refused him that spake on earth, much more shall not we escape if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven. See that you refuse not him that speaketh. Wow. Of course, when Moses spoke on earth, if you despised his words, you were stoned with two or three witnesses. Now he says, if you didn't escape on earth, you're not going to escape when he speaks from heaven. Verse 26, whose voice then shook the earth, but now he hath promised, saying, yet once more, I shake not the earth only, but also heaven. And then he ends up by saying, our God is a consuming fire. So our Lord said, my sheep hear my voice, and they follow me. The voice of God is heard in his word. You do not need to hear an audible voice from heaven speaking. God has already done that once. To demonstrate that we're sheep, we must be constantly reading, studying, applying, so that we follow our Lord obediently. My sheep hear my voice, and they follow me. Let's pray. Father, help us tonight. May we see the absolute necessity, Lord, of hearing thy word and following thee. Lord, teach us, we pray. Build us up in the most holy faith and make us obedient and holy. In the name of Jesus Christ, we ask and pray. Amen.